Thanks for listening to the Fly Racing Racer X Review Show. Before we get too far into this, racetech.com. Thank you to those guys. Motor Work, Suspension Work, based in Corona, California, and they'll give you a discount if you tell me you listen to Pulp MX. So get your bike dialed in for your weight and or speed with the folks at Racetech. Racetech.com. All right, on to the show.
A Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
Say that dedication to your frustration.
Welcome, everybody, to the Fly Racing Racer X Podcast. This is Paula MX Review. Yeah, it's time. Kicking off the outdoors. Thank you to the folks at Fly Racing. 25 years of Fly. And, man, Chad Simons did really well in his Fly Racing gear. Of course, Dean Wilson was out there as well. They sponsor a lot of riders head to toe. Kennard and Brayton still, doing things in Fly Racing. So please check them out, whether it's the Formula helmet, whether it's the Evo gear, kinetic mesh, all of it, boots, helmets, goggles, gear, they've got it all. The Formula S helmet, I'm not kidding you, it can literally save your life. Please read more about that. You get the app on your phone, you get the helmet on. If something happens, something goes sideways, you can the helmet will alert the people that you put in your phone to come help you, or the authorities to come rescue you. I'm not kidding. Fly Racing Formula S helmet. Check it out. Thank you to the folks at Fly Racing for all that they do for us, and please check them out next time you need some gear. Renthal, of course. Whether it's Kawasaki, Honda, KTM, they're using Renthal sprockets and bars. They got 7/8 bar, fat bar 36. Of course, the world-famous twin wall bar, which is a bar within a bar. They've got an inventory locator on their website, so you can find out what dealer around has the product that you want, including the new limited edition purple bars. Purple is back with the folks at Renthal doing big things with those guys. So please check out Renthal if you can. We'll tell you more about motorsport.com later on. But Fast Freddy Norn, running Maxxis tires out there, almost getting the top 10 with them. Maxxis.com for more information. Soft intermediate to hard terrain tires. And Maxxis.com, great mountain bike tires, of course, as well. Thank you to the folks at Maxxis. They've revamped their motorcycle off-road line, and it's really good. It's developed by some guy named McGrath, too, so you know that it works. Thank you to the folks at Maxxis tires. And also, we'll tell you more about Onyx Maps and motorsport.com later on. But here's Weege and JT. Both were in the booth. Talking Paula and more. Thanks for listening, everybody. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about the first motocross race of the season, and it was at Paula on the Fly Racing Racer X Review Pod. Lots to get into. We're back outdoors, four motos, 30 minutes plus a lap, plus two laps. It's a lot to get into, man. And we had some controversy too, kicking off the first outdoor national. The two gentlemen on the line were on the TV. They were in your TV. Calling the action this weekend. First up, it's Jason Wygant. What's up, Weege?
Yeah, no intro at all. But it is true, yes, I was in the TV, on the TV, working with James.
Yep.
And my broadcast colleague that's also on this show.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys, I've not watched all four motos. I'm at 2.5 before we had to do this podcast. So I may have missed a few things here, but it seems like you guys did a good job. The great James Stewart was there. Adam Cincirillo joined in for practice. Which we are all just, you know, the coronation of Adam begun at Paula. Weege.
We should be getting to JT in this pod, but I didn't know. Did Adam, was he part of opening ceremonies also? Was going to happen?
He was.
Did that happen? Okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff I don't see. So,
he even spoke during it.
That's almost what I'm getting at. He's becoming like the mayor, I feel like, of the pits, which if you were to vote for someone, it would probably be him, but it all. Just do it all for the people.
25 years of Fly Racing. It's Jason Thomas. What's up, JT?
Not much. That was a pretty solid weekend. I'm so glad I did not have to ride that track. But other than that, it was a pretty damn good day.
Weather was great, but look, it's no one's favorite track. Well, maybe a couple of guys, but it's not a great track. It's hard to see. The weather was great. Normally, it's really hot. I wish we were back at Glen Helen, but I understand why the series doesn't go to Glen Helen. I wouldn't go back to Glen Helen if I had to deal with what those guys had to deal with. So I get it. But I do wish we were back at Glen Helen. Paula's a – what? We got 11 rounds. Where would Paula rank out of the 11?
As long as I don't have to ride the track, I'm good with everything else. I truly am. Weather was good.
Yeah, but you can't use weather because it was just this year.
What do you mean? I can.
Well, just this year it was great.
No, normally, every time we go there in May, it's awesome.
Oh, I don't know about that, sir.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, I have not been there for the May Memorial Day event where the weather's been crap. I have not been. So okay. I'm not saying it's impossible. But everything else I'm fine with. Like, Temecula is nice. But as far as riding it, as a rider, I am so far out. I could not even see in from here.
Okay, so where would it rank on the 11 rounds, though? Like, it's
got to... As gotta, a rider, or just where are we at? That's what I was getting at.
Track,
rider or what?
Track, amenities, parking,
that's
pits.
That's what I'm asking, though. As a rider,
pits,
or as someone paying money to go, or as a media member?
All of that.
As a rider, it's last for me. I would not want to race this racetrack. As everything else, I think it's right somewhere in the middle.
It's
centrally located. Like, hotels aren't crazy far. Airports aren't crazy far. Weather's really great.
Okay.
It's all right. You can see reasonably okay. Not amazing. Not amazing. Like, let's be real. Not amazing for vision, for optics. But as a rider, I'll say dead last because I would want nothing to do with this track.
Weege, what about you?
It does not rank very high.
We have some such great races across the country. To me, I agree. It does not rank high.
I'm not giving it great marks. I'm not.
You said somewhere in the middle, sir.
It's because I think there are some upsides to it.
Okay.
Like, talk to me after 9 hours at the racetrack in August and get my opinion on how my day went versus how I felt at 5:30 yesterday.
Yeah, but you can't go off weather.
What do you mean?
You can't go off weather because we could have an unseasonably cool day at Unadilla this year, and then you'd be like, Unadilla's great.
Unadilla weather's usually pretty good, but Bud's Creek, I am covered in 17 layers of dirt, sweat, sunscreen on top of each other, all between.
I had forgotten the close proximity to stuff. That is an odd one, actually, where this track does not get any credit for that. In about 15 minutes, you've got anything you could ever want, which is better than a lot of the tracks can say. I did forget about that. And this is the ultimate conundrum. It's one of the greatest conundrums in the sport. They have to have a race in Southern California. I mean, that's what the teams
they do.
Want.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I understand why. It's the same thing for Anaheim. For them to be like, look, man, we're barely able to get our stuff dialed in for round one. Could you just make it easy for us to travel, test, get back to the track, work on stuff? But the odd thing is that means they have to find a really good motocross in Southern California, which is supposed to be the mecca of great tracks. And yet, it's really difficult to do that. It's the strangest thing that it's hard to find. You know, you would think one that's new to the sport, hearing about California, would think a dozen amazing, incredible, unbelievable, a cornucopia of choices there.
Yeah. No, not true.
Yeah, Glen Helen is a great track. You know, when they prep it for the national, it is a great layout.
Actually,
yes, I'm glad you said that, JT. I think part of the thing with Glen Helen is if you're a fan watching it on TV, it looks awesome. It's not necessarily people's favorite track to race on or ride, but it does.
I've never been as scared in my life racing a national as I am at Glen Helen. Never.
I'm glad you brought that up. Yes, because I think people watch it on TV and they're like, these hills, this looks so rad. This is the coolest track ever. But yeah, you don't really hear riders ever say it's the coolest track ever.
No. And those are two different things. Like, okay, if I go there and ride and I can stay reasonably low on the risk scale, it's okay. Like, I can manage it, you know, like, no big deal. Like, I can ride laps and not have, but you're talking about a track that push like a national level and take a lot of risk and kind of throw caution to the wind for the most part, just because that's what this kind of sport takes. That is not a great venue for that type of risk. It's just things can go really, really poorly, really quickly when you're talking about elevation like that, hills like that, some of the jumps. Like, think about, you remember the table pad there in 2009 where we were jumping, like, through the sky, like, back? It just was – I was like, if something went really wrong here, I don't want to throw words around that are like, – things can go very, very, very poorly. And I felt that in the moment. So,
yeah, that's when Kathleen said that their data said they were taking off, they were hitting 70 some miles an hour on the face of that jump. And you're just like, oh, that's a little much. Or one year they made it super, super crossy before you hook back on to start straight.
Yeah.
But I guess that illustrates the point, right? Glen Helen looks like a cool layout, but even that track comes with its drawbacks. And then there's major issues. I'm just going to say they're not there. It's so unbelievably hard to work with the ownership of that track. So that's out. You would think in California there's 10 or 12 other unbelievable picks. Pala's probably the second best layout track, so it has the race, and you got to have a race there. It's just weird to me that we don't have 12 amazing tracks like you would think Southern California would have.
And getting in and out of Pala's way better than it was. You know, all
I have had no issues. Each and I were battling on that yesterday.
No, it's fine.
I remember there being before. Issues. I remember people talking about like 3 and 4 hour lines to get out. I have not experienced that, but I'm sure it has happened.
It's fine. We got to be in Southern California, but it is what it is.
I do want to say, can I have one other rant here?
Yeah.
If I hear anybody say, like, sometimes this happens the very first motocross of the year, I hear people basically complaining and, like, comparing it to a supercross stadium, and I'm like, yeah, it's a motocross track, bro. Like, I hate, and that happens this time of year because everybody just went to stadiums for 5 months. When I hear industry people, you know who I'm talking about, complaining about being at the things that are inherent to being at a motocross track, I'm just like, that's the point. That's like saying a marathon race would be cool if it was shorter. Like, we're on a motocross track, guys. Sorry, it's not a football stadium. That's not what this is. So that part bothers me, and that applies to any track that we go to.
I just wish we had wash bays. I'm going to Italy. Well, I'm going to Italy, and there will be social media posts, photos, columns written about the wash bays.
I mean, you're talking about people that are complaining about a motocross race being a motocross race.
That's what I'm saying.
That's just what that, you know. Like,
if you want it to be we've heard of the idea. You know what would be cool? We could have a dirt bike race in a stadium. That would be an amazing idea.
Right. And we get it. 17 argue 20 of those.
Yes, we get it. We get it. I know that's got nicer restrooms and it's not as dusty, but that's the exact point of being where we are.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, let's move on.
All in all, it was a good day. Like, let's be fair. I want nothing to do when you ride that track. I'm thankful that those guys have to do it and I don't.
Right.
But it was a pretty good day, all in all.
I walked out on the start straight, those turns there after mechanics area during practice. I was with Andrew Short and Davey. And, man, dirt was primo. Dirt was great, watered. It was disced nicely. Like, they've overdone that place in practice many times with it soaking the shit out of it, and then it just turned into rut cross once they hardened up. They've not been able to get the prep perfect many times. But whether it was the weather or they learned a few things in prep, whatever that was, looked great. Obviously, being California and as it got hotter, it turned out to be normal Paula. But in the morning, and riders I talked to, it was great. Prep was awesome. It wasn't deep and watered. And you're like, one guy told me, your bike is just ruined after practice, just destroyed. You need a complete wash job filter. You got to replace all the plastics that you tore off from the ruts, you know, everything else. You know, and it wasn't that. So I think the kudos on the prep job. Rough start to the race on Thursday press day.
That wasn't
Fly Racing Zone RJ Hampshire out with hits a rock and breaks his wrist, and then we had a flagger incident, just a miscommunication with the flagger, and Marchbanks just plows into Jerry Robin, who plowed into Christian Craig. Not good. Not good.
To tell that story, Davey Coons wrote about it in Racerhead on Friday, but people didn't read that. I guess the story was team people were kind of just walking onto the track in some unsafe areas, I think, is what I heard. And then So they announced, if you're not MX Sports staff, don't go on the track. Guys are riding. And I guess the local flagger, who is like, well, I'm not MX Sports staff, thought, get off the track. And then, of course, that moments later, worst case, when the person happened, who went down first? Was it Jerry?
Jerry went first. Craig went to him.
It would be Jerry.
Yeah, it would. It was a really simple jump. There was not even a jump. You know, but yeah, Jerry, then Craig, then Chiz, or no, McElrath, and then Marchbanks. He was already nursing a thumb injury, and oh boy. Does suck for RJ, though. This wasn't involved in the flagging thing. This is a separate one, but yes, sucks for RJ. Bad.
Sucks, man.
Bad deal.
And don't forget Ferrandis, with number one plate, hurt his thumb, press day.
Oh.
Paula at this race 2 years ago.
Oh, I forgot about that, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Jet Lawrence, he went 1-1. He led a bunch of laps. He looked fantastic. Actually, he led every lap. Sorry, I thought maybe he didn't lead one lap, but he led every lap. He went 1-1, and the moto streak continues, and he's a bad dude, and here we go again. But Weege, maybe not. Like, maybe not. Hunter looked great. Chase was all over him in second moto. I talked to Lars afterwards. Lars is like, he wasn't happy with his bike setup. He fought his bike setup. And Lars said, I know people are going to start saying, well, just put last year's setup in. But he said there's some suspension changes, components changes from last year that they can't go back to last year's because they have this year's stuff, which I can relate being a mechanic on some teams. So there's a little bit of tuning needed. There wasn't much testing. So it can't be just the same bike. Close, but not the same. So not happy with the bike setup, Weege. But we saw something. I don't know. Did we not? Did we just see?
Yeah, that was actually.
Did we see nothing?
If you watch our Twisted Tea best post race show ever, that was besides the Deegan off the track drama, which we'll get into here. At that point, that wasn't even resolved. So when we were doing the post race show, the biggest topic was that something or was that not something?
Yeah.
Because also, you can easily point to how quickly we forget. I mean, it feels like, did that really happen? But last year at this race, Chase Sexton, who wasn't really on his game, the crash in practice, Supercross hangover, not feeling great, just stayed right on Jet's rear wheel every single minute of the second moto. And we left that race thinking like, oh, they're about equal. They're about equal.
Mm-hmm.
You did not see 24-0 coming. I mean, even in your observations, it was like, this is going to be a great battle between these two. So in that sense, I'm like, oh, wait, I'm not sure. We actually saw this last year, and it still turned out to be 24-0. So I asked the great Ryan Villopoto. He kind of shaded towards, he does not think this is anything. Jet was in complete control the whole time. Maybe he wasn't at his best, but he was never truly under threat. So that's RV's take.
Well, it's not a bad take, JT, because he was sort of, you know, just Jet out there. He was just kind of riding, even though Chase was all over him. He was just, and maybe could have wicked it up even more. Like, it could be nothing.
It definitely could be. But I thought Chase was really impressive. You know, the question is, you know, will Chase be able to do what he did at Fox Raceway again at other tracks or be better? Because that was the thing last year is, you know, Fox Raceway has been really kind to Chase. Like, he's always shown a ton of speed there. I would argue it's his best racetrack as far as efficiency. So if that's the best we're going to get, then maybe that's not good enough, you know? So I thought it was promising. I thought Hunter was incredible. But in the end, Jet was able to manage whatever they threw at them. And if that's the, you know, and I've kind of been on this train for a couple of weeks that Chase needed to change the narrative early. One of these first few motos changed the story at tracks that Jet's not his best at. You know, I think Hangtown is also one of those. If you look over the years, Jet hasn't been his best at Hangtown. So if they can't get it done early here, I don't know that they're going to get it done at all. And that doesn't mean he's going to win every moto. I just mean like the story is not going to change here. And so far Jet's 2-for-2 and maintaining the same old thing, right? Maybe it doesn't look so pretty. Maybe we're all nervous about it, but in the end, that same guy crosses the finish line before anybody else does.
It's
I thought it was something, but I'm going to defer to RV. I thought it was something. thought it was something.
He's the greatest retired rider ever.
Yeah.
Everybody yeah. thinks it can be something, but in the end, yes. nothing has changed. That's the problem,
no.
right? He's
no,
still true. Handling, yeah. figuring yep. out, okay, damn, these guys are going really fast. I better figure out a way to hold these guys off. And then, yep. oh, yeah, yeah, okay. You know, Chase makes a mistake. They've changed everything. But in the end, like,
but that happens
whatever,
a lot.
Exactly, right? Yes. That's the thing. It's like, Jet doesn't make that mistake. Chase makes the mistake, or Jet figures out how to go faster, or it's just
well,
yeah.
And yeah. like it's not like Jet's body language was indicating at all that he was in a hurry or being pressured. You know, like it was, the easiest, less than a second lead ever because he's just cruising
yeah,
and he's coming up
I
on lappers.
Didn't think Jet looked that
yeah.
good.
No,
I really didn't
no.
think Jet looked that good.
I didn't think so.
I agree.
Which is crazy to say. Like he still won both motos, but. For what Jet's capable of, I thought it was
this is
kind of like a B, you know?
This is the weirdest
panic. I wouldn't say B minus, but like a B for what Jet normally looks like as good as he can look. I thought he was like really fighting the bike and the track.
This is the weirdest.
Still won.
This is the weirdest panic button conversation we've ever had.
Yeah, 1-1-1.
It is.
He won one. He led every laps. And we're like, maybe we should pull the panic button out of the drawer.
Yeah. JT, fair to say. That of the, and I want to ask Stu this on the air. I don't think, I did get to it at one point. I'm like, hey, when someone has a perfect season, the result's the same every week. So it looks like it's the exact same thing. But within that, there's probably days where you felt great and days where you didn't feel as good. We can't tell the difference because the result on the end of the day is exact same, but you know the difference. I would say this was one of the least dominant 1-1s he's had out of the 24 moto streak. Maybe this moto last year.
Yeah, I was going to say the only one I was one up it with is last year, the same race.
Well,
so that's why I'm like,
yeah,
really
he got careful.
He got caught. He got caught at Unadilla. He did get caught.
Did.
So there was that.
Yeah. But this was sustained. Like it was.
Yeah.
Last
he
year,
was doing
Sexton,
his thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Last year, I thought Sexton was faster. I'd really thought like, Sexton was faster than him last year. He just could never find a way to make a move.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I agree with that same take this year, but I still can't. The fact that it could just be this particular track, and if he's able to make it happen in whatever fashion at these tracks where he just doesn't seem to like or get along with all that well, what happens at the other ones? You know, is it just going to be over with before we get started?
Well, I mean, like Lars volunteered that. You know, not happy with his bike, fighting spike.
He wasn't. So. I don't know if you got to watch his interviews or anything, Steve, but like he was. You know, I get a little bit more insight, and it's hard for me to always contextualize what the viewer at home sees versus what I see because I have all this – I have a lot more background. I see him talking to people. I see him – his body language before he goes on camera, after we go off camera. He wasn't happy after the first moto for sure with the bike and how he rode and all those things. So that was like if he's still winning in that scenario, man, I don't know what they're going to be able to do with him.
Yeah. I agree.
Now, someone's going to say here, by the way, he's 7-0. He's never been beat at this track. So they're going to say, how could this? You say that, JT? But I think Jet admits himself, he doesn't understand why he's been this successful here because he doesn't think he's good at this track. So that's
no, he just basically said, it's been kind to me, but I don't think he's, I don't think leaving yesterday, he's like, yeah, man, that was about as good as I could do it. Like, I think he was like, I left a lot out there. That's my take on it. I could be wrong. I'm happy to be wrong, but that's 100% my opinion is he felt like there was a lot left yesterday that he didn't kind of take advantage of.
I think because no one has like a lot of fun at this track. Do you know what I mean? It's not a lot of fun. So yeah, he's kicking ass. He's smoking.
I think this track has a limit to it.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm using words that other people would say, but like there's only so much in it. And if you try to go past that, you're probably going to end up on your head, but there's kind of an upside limit to how fast you can necessarily go. And that's probably frustrating when you're like, yeah, this is all it has, and I wish I could go faster.
Sexton really had tail of two motos. Like we talked about that second moto. He looked great. Caught Hunter. They both pulled away from Hunter in the second moto, and he looked great. First moto, though, he crashes twice. He gets kind of a fortunate fourth. Didn't look really at all good at all, and I was like, oh, boy. Especially after the second crash, I was like, oh, no, because – you know, things have been rough over there. It hasn't been that smooth. But the second moto, at least, has got to give him a lot of hope. I know, like JT, you said, it's his best track. It's definitely one of his best tracks, if not his best track. So maybe that's all we got from Chase. But tale of two motos. I'd be interested to find out what he changed between motos or what happened. Or obviously the start is a huge thing. You got a better start.
Yeah, do you think it was anything other than the start and then
the
crash?
I don't know, because like he kind of went down in the first moto the second time, kind of all by himself again, right?
Yeah.
So like, you know, that's odd, but. Third overall for him, 4-2 on the day. And Hunter Lawrence, Weege, that was a good ride. We talked about take Hunter, take Dylan, take Justin Cooper, Jason Anderson, and flip a coin, AP, flip a coin and see who comes up, and that's who's going to get third, but it's going to be competitive. But at least at Paulo, Weege, Hunter was clearly better than all those dudes.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to mention one thing on Sexton. He had the best lap of the second moto, and his final lap was actually almost as fast as Jet's best lap of all. So maybe that's something. And then finally, I saw Roger DeCoster, none other than at the end of the race. And I said, oh, that's encouraging, right? And he said he was the best. And I'm like, oh, the best he's been? And Roger said, no, he was the best rider today. I'm like, Chase? And he's like, yes. And I'm like, he was the best rider that raced today. And he's like, yes.
Yeah, you can't say that, though. Roger can say whatever he wants.
Yes.
Roger can say whatever he wants. Let's start there. But
yes.
I disagree with that. You can say, because how many races have we seen over the years where the fastest rider didn't win?
Very.
It happens all the time. But it's more than just who can go. Like, it's all about the starts. It's the racecraft. It's avoiding mistakes. It's,
Now, back to Hunter. That was awesome. And honestly, even if he hadn't, I mean, halfway through the moto, he's literally side by side with Jet, like, putting serious heat on him. Mm-hmm. That is, we know that Jet's zone is like, 2.3 seconds is like for him, that's a 30 second lead. But at one point, it was well under like, no, this is real. This is a real attack.
Yeah.
This is a real battle.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you took that flurry out, I agree. It was still an awesome weekend, even if you didn't have that. And I know Chase eventually got him. Hunter was kind of alluding to same thing, wasn't super pumped on the bike. But for being his first 450 national, like, okay, he couldn't quite hold Chase Sexton off to the end of the second moto of the day.
Yeah.
But that is really good. Like, well, really, really good.
And he was clearly better than that group of guys that we thought he would be in with.
Right, right.
So,
yeah. And his final fitness, I mean, he'll learn that.
There is a little bit, to me, there's a little bit of Anaheim 1 to Paula, because it's the first round. It's in Paula. It's a weird track. Let's wait and see, you know. There's a little bit of that to me. But, yeah. There is some of this where you're like, oh, yeah, looks great.
Yeah.
So, Ferrandis 7-5, kind of a good day for Dylan. Worked. He moved forward both motos, you know, past guys, both motos, past Cooper, past Barsha, both times. Got Mookie, I think, one moto. Got AP. No, he didn't get AP. But anyways, yes, moved forward both motos. So good job.
Anybody see this? He mentioned on the podium – well, he wasn't on the podium, but the interview after the race, that he had a huge crash that almost took him out of the day in the first moto. I did not see this. I don't even know where it was. Did either of you get any insights to that?
I did not. No, I went to go find him after the race. He was gone. So
yeah, that was. And I know you haven't seen the race, all of it yet, but that I was surprised in the middle of the interview when he said that, because I didn't even know he had a big crash at all, other than that little one we caught on film.
Yeah.
So.
Qualified fourth. It's a good job, I think. Again, privateer guy. Like, I know it's Dylan Ferrandis, he's past national champion, but you just...
Well, I was a little like, uh-oh. And you still can... Because I think he fancies himself in this championship fight, right? Like, that to me, former champ, he makes his move. Like, he wants to be in the fight for the title. There's no way you could argue that point, I think. Whether he is or not, we'll see. But after qualifying, he was like 4 seconds down. I was like, ooh. Like, that's not a good way to start your championship run. So I don't know if that changes or what, but that was pretty eye-opening to see how much speed those top two had.
I mean, you said that in our review show or our preview show too, JT, but like, okay, man, I think I'm in the championship run.
No. But being realistic, you don't think he's going in?
No, I do.
Really?
Oh, no. Okay.
Why not?
Oh, sure. No. He is, sure. Yeah, he's Dylan Ferrandis. He's uber confident. The dude has always been that way. But...
I'm not talking about Jerry Robin. I'm talking about a guy that won the title three years ago.
No way.
He got second in points.
Yeah, on a factory bike. Like, I know he hated it. I know that's the funny thing is he just hates this bike that he got second. Well, he should have got third. Like, Chase was better. But
whatever.
Way,
when you get
second
in points and you're a former champion, when you're going into the series, thinking you're going to win the title is not unrealistic. Just there's no way to say it.
Turn around, look at the name on your semi truck, and then have a good day.
But he chose to go there.
I know. I get it. Yeah.
He thought this was an upgrade.
I know what he thought.
My only point, Steve, is if you got second in points and you won the title 3 years ago, being 4 seconds slower in qualifying has to be like,
I guess. Sure.
That's
sure. Yeah, I guess. But to me, this is a good ride. Fourth is great. Yep. You know,
I've been told he rides with the Lawrences still, that he and Hunter are pretty much the same. And then obviously you've got Alien there in Jet, and every once in a while they're close to him, you know, on good day, bad day, whatever. But I think the expectation was, okay, I'm at least there with everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah, which he was. We're praising Hunter here. He was better than Barcia, better than Cooper. Well, I don't know. I think Justin Cooper and AP could be more in the mix, but they had up and down motos, right? Overall scores aren't there, but they both.
It was fine. I was only blown away by the time gap. Yeah. That's it. Everything else was fine. No big deal. I just was like, to me, as a rider, I know what that feels like to just be like, holy crap, I'm so far off. Like, I don't even know where those guys are going that fast, and you're thinking you're going to win. You know what I mean? Like, that's a tough thing to deal with.
Barcia 6-6 on the day. Again, kind of moved up a little bit. You know, kind of didn't move up a ton, but 6-6 for fifth. Cooper went 5-8, got screwed out of that fourth spot by a lapper, and then second moto, he went down with a host of other guys. God, was there first turn crashes in all the motos?
At least three of
them. Three of them for sure.
So. I think the second one of the motos was in the second turn. But yeah, there was a lot.
There was always like dudes coming like way back, right? So that was Justin Cooper. He took a long time to get going in Moto 2. Like Marshall Welton was ahead of him and Phil was ahead of him. And you're like, okay, well, what's going on? And then like, I was like, all right, is that just how he's going to do it? And then he, like all factory riders, like all kind of guys like Justin Cooper, like the last 5 minutes, you know, he got on it and got those guys. So it was impressive to see that. And then I think the first moto was good. I mean, he kind of rode by himself a little bit, but that's a good start for him. Like if he doesn't fall on that day, he, you know, goes 5-5 or something or 5-4 or whatever. Anderson crashed in that first turn.
Hold on. Before we go to Cooper, were you guys surprised he wasn't closer to Hunter? Because I thought he and Hunter would be kind of, you know, 1A and 1A and 1B, I think. Well, and Hunter was significantly better.
I think we got to not so much knock Cooper, but praise Hunter, right? Like,
I'm not knocking
to me,
him.
Cooper. Yeah, Cooper was right around that group.
That big of a gap. That's all.
I was, but I'm going to say I try not to judge too much after one race. But yes, I thought they'd be close, but we could be by round six and be like, oh, look at that.
I'm not condemning him.
Yeah. I did think they'd be. I agree. I did not expect Hunter to be that much better than pretty much everybody else.
Yeah.
But it is only one race. So
and Justin Cooper has had rough goes at this round before.
Yeah, which he mentioned.
So
he's
been really good before, so maybe he bounces back.
Yeah, he was not. Yep. He was happy with his day. I talked to him. Happy with his day. Like, obviously, he didn't like the crash and all that. But considering it was Paula, considering it was his first 450 race, I asked him what the difference. I asked him what the difference was. He said, "Yeah, track got a lot rougher for 450s."
I mean, think about some of the years he's gone. He went like 13-11 or something this year.
Well, he mentioned that. He mentioned that. I forgot about it, but he mentioned to me that year he came in with an injured foot and just went completely backwards.
Yeah. He was 32 points down after round one that year.
Anderson was making some sweet outside passes. He was railing outsides coming up from the back of the pack. And then he also was 15 seconds back of Chase in the second moto, and then probably 10 seconds up on the next guy riding by himself in the second moto. So, but I really liked his sweet outside lines.
I'm just glad to have a bunch of those guys back. You think about this race last year and that just wave of injuries at the end of last year's Supercross.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, Mookie's there. Anderson's there.
Yeah.
Barcia's there.
AP's back.
And then you've got Hunter and Justin Cooper moved up. I don't know if this means at the very front, like the story, it could still be a perfect season for Jet or something like that.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more depth, I feel, than there was having those guys that were hurt last year back.
AP 312. Third was cool.
First moto was phenomenal, man. First moto was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was great.
Phenomenal? Yeah, no? But I mean, I guess, yeah, but would he be okay with third?
AP? Yeah, I think so. I mean, like challenging Jet, like at the front, like his sprint speed at the beginning was awesome. I thought his first moto was amazing. I really did. Like,
I just think it's a standard. I think he thinks that's who he is.
Okay,
he
that's fine, too. Yeah. I just, as a, you know, as a civilian watching the race, I thought his first moto was great.
Yeah.
He may think, like, yeah, that's just normal. That's okay. I'm good with that, too. I just thought it was awesome. Yeah.
I wouldn't use the word phenomenal, but I would say great or good.
But, like, you look at his sprint speed, like, he was pushing. Like, he passed Hunter to the front. That I'm not talking about third, necessarily. I'm talking about, like, what that moto was. Like, he was in it. Like he was, I did not, when the gate dropped, I didn't think the first few laps would be like, holy crap, look at Plessinger going for the lead. That's not what I expected to happen. So in that light, I thought it was really good.
I talked to him after the race and I said, where do you stand on Paul? And I kind of had forgotten this, but he was like, oh dude, I've ridden here so much. He said that, you know, when he used to live in California full time with the Star guys and ride there, he said that one time he came into the opener with 40 motos under his belt and 35 of them were at Paula. So he's like, I've ridden here so much, which he's like, I like it. I'm fine with it. But
yeah, that's good. I mean, I listen,
and then
it's going to be shades of gray with all these things. I just didn't have, that's not what I pictured happening. I thought it was going to be a Jet and Chase battle. And then AP's just like, in the fight, like pushing up to Jet. And I was like, oh, that's impressive.
I still think, like I said earlier, I don't think you can judge this opener from, but I still think it's
that's all we have.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all we have so far.
I still think it's going to be flip of the coin between Hunter, AP, Dylan, Cooper, Anderson, Barcia, you know, going forward. But we'll see. Or maybe Hunter separates himself, right? Right now he did, that's for sure. AP said a second moto. He was like, man, I got tired out there. They really caught up to me at the end. Typical AP. So,
yep.
Malcolm said the last – he didn't know about the 10 years. He had no idea. But then he thought about it, and he was like, you know, yeah, I think the last time I was here, I was kickstarting my bike. he was in a good mood after the race. Like, he said that was all – like, that result was perfectly fine. No problems. He hasn't done an outdoor opener for a long time. Happy, and I agreed with him. Like 8.7 all day. Yeah, Mookie doesn't have that outdoor speed of those guys we just finished talking about. So yeah, take it. Take the 8.7 all day.
I think there was a real fear that this would be like really bad, like in the teens every week.
Yeah.
But you're like, no, he's in that group ish. Maybe he's at the back end of that group, but he wasn't. It wasn't like, yeah. Five privateers were beating him.
No. Nicoletti. Phil.
Whoa.
Very
that
happy.
Was amazing.
Phil.
Can I say that was amazing and not you guys not say poo-poo it like you guys have said with every guy trying to compliment?
It was great. It was great.
It truly was amazing. Yes.
He said he's happy he never has to go to that shithole ever again. So it's his farewell.
Honestly, if I was a rider, I would echo that sentiment.
He maybe Paula could put that on next year's poster.
Flyer.
Yeah, next year's flyer. He got a start. Phil's always been a good starter, right? Always been able to pull starts and did it again. And he went backwards too far, he said, but he was like, he blew up trying to go that speed. And then he made a joke about Jet's lucky he didn't go after him. And then he made a joke that at some point when he was dropping back, the next guy was Freddie. And he was like, no, it stops here.
This is where draw the line.
This is where it stops. Freddie's a great rider, but Freddie is not getting me.
I've had that feeling, man. When you're like moving, I've moved backwards in my career many, 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 many times, and you just find this sweet spot. You're like, okay, this is about it. This is about as much as I can possibly stomach.
Yeah, yeah, that seemed like it for Phil. 9.9 though. We just good day for our Racer X columnist.
And dude, it was awesome. It was awesome, especially because, I mean, he was not giving encouraging signs about his enthusiasm for this. Like, normally, Phil has no enthusiasm, but 450 outdoors, that's, like, the only thing that can, like, put a little pep in his step. And then it felt like, with his retirement, that even that was gone. So, I was pumped. It was just classic Phil. I mean, this is no different than 8 years ago or something on JGR. He can get a start, and he can run like hell for two or three laps.
Yeah.
I mean... He passed Hunter. He passed him.
Yep. He also he chopped Sexton off like two out of three turns just badly.
He did.
I'm sure Chase is like, but then feels like I let him by in the first moto. So
I thought Hunter was gonna take, or I thought Chase was gonna take him out. I really did.
I had to piss him off.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I hope we have more moments like this for Phil.
Oh yeah, yeah. Hey, some of his best motos have been in California.
Yeah,
like it or not.
Which you love to point out, the liberal state of California has treated Phil well. So.
Well, he hated Glenn Helen just as much as this, but he got a moto podium once.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So good job for Phil. Qualified 17th. Still not there for the one lap speed, Weej. Like you
and
said,
still pisses him off.
Yeah, like you said on the Pulp Show. Just
can't just chalk it up to I'll be better in the races.
Nope.
Can't do it.
Nope.
Pissed off.
15 years of outperforming his qualifying time. But can't take that as any sort of evidence.
No. It is frustrating, though. Like, you come in and you're just like, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
You don't ever realize it matter.
No, you do.
Happens.
You do.
He
does. I'm sure he does. No, deep down he does. But it's still frustrating. Like, and if Phil's frustrated, you're going to know about it. That's the whole thing. Like,
that's true.
He's not going to hide it.
Yeah. Good job for our guy, Philip. Freddie Norin. Freddie came from 32nd to 13th in the first moto. Freddie is solid. I gave him a shout out in our Racer X preview. You guys both omitted him, and I will not stand for that. And
oh, here we go.
I was asking Welton about racing with him, and he said he was behind him in Moto One, and he said Freddie had some big moments, but typical Freddie fashion, he just kept going, no problems. And Marsh was like, "Oh my god, dude." So,
first of all, I love your move. This is a classic Steve move, JT.
Uh-huh.
Before we're at the end of the show, he calls somebody his name so he can beat us to saying it and then say we were not going to mention it.
You guys were never going to talk about Freddie.
Classic move.
No, neither one of you were ever going to talk about Freddie. He was not on the list.
How hard is it before these preview videos to just look at last year's points? Like, it's not hard to make a list of guys. It's not hard.
Ninth overall last year, never was going to get a mention.
So you don't think I was going to at any point? Maybe I looked at last year's results.
You didn't put Cooper Webb in the first video of the Supercross preview. I mean, who knows?
I mean, I can only fit three guys. I did not mention Cooper Webb at all. I was in the riders meeting in the morning, and they start saying, "Hey, we're going to have guys in opening ceremonies today." And Freddie's like, "Hey, wait, I was eighth in points last year. Am I going to get an opening ceremonies?" And then he started figuring out all the guys that aren't there.
Yeah.
Well, they only do top five for the, like.
Well, it turned out.
No, he was in it.
Yes. He was naming the guys that I can't even remember who, like guys that were in the points last year that aren't here.
Marchbanks.
Marchbanks. I'm trying to think. Not like Webb, Tomac, or Roczen were. They barely raced last year. Anyway, there were enough dudes out. There were only like four guys from last year's top 10 or something that were there. And then,
they said
Freddie Norin, and he was so stoked.
And then
so stoked.
And they introduced him, and then Lewis and I were watching it. I'm like, I wasn't thinking about points. I was like, first opener of the year, they're going to get everyone from every manufacturer in there, right? They're just going to do that because who knows how it's going to go. And then I'm like, they call Freddie first, and I'm like, that's Cowie's rep. That's what they're, and then Anderson came out. I was like, oh, okay, all right. Like, I thought there was like a conscious decision to be like, we need a Cowie rider, and let's get Freddy
busy.
Yeah,
we'll get Norin.
Yeah. So, good job, Freddy.
Yeah.
And Welton, good job, Welton. 16-11 on the day. Marsh was really good. That 11, he was 10th forever in Moto 2. He was 10th forever. Justin Cooper got him real late. He was monitoring Phil, his buddy Phil, looking at it, trying to get, hopefully getting Phil, but wasn't happening. But 16-11, good job, Marshall. Cullen Parks back from wrist injury. God, he hurt this wrist in February. I didn't even realize it had been that long.
That's normal for that injury. It's the same. I don't know what I know you and I talked off record, Steve, about RJ's thing, but that injury is a 3-month injury, that lunate bone.
Yeah, I didn't realize he said February. I was like, oh, fuck. Like, yeah. So he's back, 450 rider. I asked him, hey, do you and Ferrandis, does he help you? No. I'm like, okay, all right, moving on. So doesn't sound like there's a lot of, like, mentoring by Dylan of Cullen. So, 12.
Wait, that's so weird. GT, remember when we met with Ferrandis and Cullen in December before Supercross, and it was like his own brother at that point.
All I remember is Ferrandis talking about how much in love with he was with his bike. I don't remember any Cullen Park talk.
Cullen came in, and we were like, "What about working with Ferrandis?" And he was like, "Going nuts on it."
After three months
of the wrist injury.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I just don't remember it.
Yeah. Dean Wilson was there. SMX points, everybody. This is what it does. He was texting me last week about SMX cutoff and how it went and last year. And I'm like, dude, it's
asking you.
Yeah.
There's no one else that actually is in charge of the rules that he could ask.
I don't know, man. He values me. Okay. All right. Sorry. That hurts your ego.
I don't mean me. I mean like the AMA or something.
I'm a sounding board for the riders.
The races that you have all these names for, you're the expert on.
Listen, all I did was pull up the SMX points, which he could have easily done, looked at them and said, well, Dean, it was 91 points last year and you got 70. So you're probably screwed. So he came out, he pressured me on social media to sponsor him. And then at some point, Jason Anderson and Team Fried sponsored him too. So it was a Team Fried Pulp collab. Mm. Yeah.
No surprise.
Yeah, no surprise. We've teamed up
a
lot.
The guy with more money than not Anderson, but the guy with the most money asking for to be sponsored
for
the race. Yeah,
unbelievable. Right. Multi-millionaire rider looking for money. Yes. Anyways, I thought he rode really well. When he posted he was racing, first of all, the last time I saw him at a national was Paula. He could barely walk. Rockstar Husky days. I mean, his knees looked like somebody took a baseball bat to him. I was like, oh, and he's like, I'm never racing nationals again. Thank God. I can't do it. My knees are shot, blah, blah, blah. But SMX and money gets Dean Wilson off the couch, and I thought it would be a terrible idea. And he got 11th in the first moto, which was great. And the second moto, he was involved in that crash, came from way back to 16th, got 17 points towards SMX. So, yeah.
He was way better than I thought he would be.
He was.
Way
me too.
Better.
I told him that. I said, dude, I thought this was going to be a disaster. Good job. So, yeah. And him and Jet hitting in the air. What about that?
Whew. Oh, my gosh. That was scary.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? He comes out for one race and takes Jet out of the championship.
Yeah.
That's all I could picture in my head.
See you guys later. I'm going to Australia. And, like, he's going to Manjum Up this weekend. He probably wouldn't have made it out alive.
Sexton would have sponsored him for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
He's Anderson sponsors him. Sexton would have really sponsored him.
Yeah. Good job, Bino. Christian Craig came back, and like, if you're a Christian, you're like, okay, man. He told us that the beginning of the year is not going to go great because he's still not ready 100% from his injuries. But you would think in his mind, he's like, okay, I'm not 100%. I just want to get a 12-12 and just kind of drama-free. Nope. Goes down right away, both motos early. Has to eat rocks and dirt for 30 minutes. He came around 33rd and 37th. In the two motos. Welcome to the great outdoors, Christian. Yep.
Sounds like the way Supercross started for him. With him and Mookie down on the first lap of every single race.
Yep.
Jeez. Yeah, both first turn crashes. Jeez.
The Pope was there. Roman Pep came back. He was up front. He went backwards both motos. The Pope needs to work on some calisthenics. Grant Harlan. I picked him in fantasy. He's not very happy with Hardog. But it is what it is. McElrath was way back early on in Moto 1. Never really got going. Hep had a bad day with Chiz and McElrath. Wasn't great. I should have checked. I should have interviewed Larry Brooks after. Hey, Brooks, how's it going? How was the day?
Great outdoors, Larry.
Yeah. Welcome to
the... have to go over there to shoot that best post show because we always started over there.
Oh, yeah.
Because we share a sponsor with Twisted Tea.
Right.
And Pipes. I figured the show is hooking them up. It's like further...
Yeah,
their logos on the truck are like further proof that they're doing right by their sponsor.
Uh-huh.
But Pipe's like, oh, you're still doing this? And I'm like, is there a cooler with some Twisted Tea? Can we do this? And then he came back around. I think he was sensing my sarcasm and I was sensing his sarcasm. But I didn't at that point even know really what the results were over there. So maybe that's why.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Maybe they were not in a celebratory
I said party. To him. I went over there. I was talking to Chiz and McElrath and everything else. I said to Pipes, I'm like, hey, does this make it like any like easier? Like you kind of just have two vets, drama free. Like they're just going to get 8-12, you know, and you're just going to go on with your day. And he's like, no. it's more work, and there's no reward. And I'm like, okay, all right, moving on.
They're going to do World Supercross. They kind of know what the schedule might be.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be, what, fall off-season races? Which means this is just, you can't script it better than Chiz just racing for 12 straight months.
Yeah.
January through December. That is no, so Chiz.
Yeah. I'm worried for Chiz, man. He's not chizzing as much as I'd like. So, Derek Kelly came back. I had to ask Lewis. I'm like, who's 53? I seriously, I'm like, Derek Kelly? What?
He was 450.
Yeah, 450. He's, yeah, didn't he ran good in first moto for a little bit.
Yep.
Justin Hill was there, of course. Yep.
He had posted on Instagram after Utah, like, now it's on to TGO. And I'm like, wait, what? Now it's on to the Great Outdoors?
Like, all of them?
There he was.
This is SMX, man. This is what it's doing to these guys.
It must. Must be.
All right.
Yeah.
Anything else for 450s? Lorenzo didn't have a good day. Jake Masterpool was back. I also had to look up his number. I was like, who's 416?
I did see him Saturday morning. He had not raced in 4 years. And 2+ years, he didn't even ride at all. He's had some back problems.
Oh, wow.
Multiple surgeries. And came back. I thought it was actually decent. The qualifying was no problem.
Yeah.
And, point, I guess. I forgot that 21st place pays a point now.
Ridiculous. Just ridiculous. Absolutely insanity. We've lost our minds.
In Ghostbusters, when they're trying to depict what's going to happen if they unleash these ghosts upon New York City,
mm-hmm.
that this is it. 21st place getting a point. Cats and dogs living together at the worst mm-hmm. parts of the Bible.
And then making a Supercross main and getting a 0 points also, by the way. So you make a main and you get 0 points for 22nd. Zero.
Yep.
Thanks for coming out. You get nothing. Here's a bag of shit. But 21st in motocross, here's a point. Thanks for coming out. It's fucking weird. Hey, there was a guy from France there named Scotty Verhage. I was just like, what? 103.
Yeah, I did see that. Least French sounding name.
Yeah.
Scotty.
Scotty Verhage. Sounds like he's from Jersey. All right. 450s. We're good?
We're good.
Thanks to the folks at Renthal and Maxis, as I said off the top. And, of course, Fly Racing. 25 years of Fly. We are going to get to Fly Racing's highlight of Paula coming up here. FlyRacing.com. Thank you to the folks at Motorsport.com. OEM and aftermarket parts available now. Great pricing. Great shipping. Dedicated team of gearheads there to help you out. It's the number one online retailer in the world. Motorsport.com. OEM and aftermarket parts. Thanks to those guys for coming on board. And Weege Onyx Maps as well.
Yep, Onyx Maps. So good that they use it for the NA Hard Enduro series. They actually use it to map out the ridiculous trails. I was watching Cody Webb's Instagram, passed out. And this is how these hard enduro races work. He's passed out. I'm like, man, what's wrong? Is he hurt? And he's like, glad to be the only one that finished today. So that was actually like a positive. That was good. So Onyx Maps is used for these super gnarly enduro races. You can find mountain bike trails, jeep trails, dirt bike trails, anything you want on there. And we have a discount, RacerX, all lowercase, all one word, 20% off. But you can take it for a free trial and find out about stuff you didn't know was around you to go riding on.
All right. Thanks to those guys for coming on board. And 250s, Paula, so bizarre. I mean, it's 2 hours after the race. I'm interviewing Kitchen. He doesn't know if he won. He's like, well, you know, it is 30 grand difference. So I would, you know, he goes, Hayden beat me. I got second, but it's 30 grand. So yeah, that'd be cool if I won. And, yeah. And then there was a press conference and no one knew still what the results were going on. Obviously Vial got docked a position for going up the track in Moto 1. Hayden went off a couple times in Moto 2, never got docked and they were reviewing it. I don't know what took so long. I don't understand. I mean, I get the reviewing and all of that, but dude, I don't know. Any idea what took so long, first of all? Never mind the decision.
No, I don't have anything on authority. I was saying thing. I'm just sitting there waiting and waiting and doing multiple shows and like you doing interviews and post-race stuff, still not knowing who won, which is mm-hmm. crazy. I mean, I don't like to guess. I don't like things on speculation. But the only thing I can think of is that's such a hard... There's nothing black and white about did you go too fast off the track or not. Like, Jason Anderson grabbing gears and roosting makes it clear. Deegan did look over, like, seemed to acknowledge that he was off the track. It becomes really hard to judge, but I also think that some of it is like, oh, man, this is affecting the overall win. That makes the decision harder, which it should not. It should not affect the decision. The decision should just be what it is, regardless of the impact. But maybe that was why.
Did you think Vial JT should have been docked in Moto 1?
Oh, man. I was 50-50. Was he aggressive in getting back on? Probably, like, doubling off the side of the track in back into the rollers.
Mm-hmm.
Visually, doesn't look great. Man, these things are such judgment calls. I could have gone either way on both of them, honestly, which mm-hmm. is tough when you do one, not the other. That's the hard part.
Yeah,
when I can go either way on both, and sure. you decide to split the difference, that's tough.
That's where I'm at. Like, I think if you're going to dock Vial, you need to dock Deegan. Now, Vial, like you said, JT, he went off the track in some rollers, came around, and doubled back onto the track, which is potentially is more dangerous than what Hayden did. I see that point where they're like, hey, that was actually kind of dangerous. Don't do that again. Hayden, you know, you're don't do that either, but at least you know, sort of slowed down and came onto the track in a different manner than Vial did. But yeah, you're opening up a slippery slope here because now everyone's going to be watching everybody going off the track and deciding on what you want to just fine them. Just fine them. $500. Don't do that anymore, and then every other fine gets bigger or whatever. But, man, it's a tough look to dock Vial, I think, and not dock Deegan. Weege?
All these ones where it's a judgment call, make it so difficult. And I know Mike Coates here came on, and he said they have metrics for these things, and still, I still think, okay, yeah, you have data to support it, but it's still a judgment call. Like, there's no definitive way to determine that other than you decided, you know, someone has to decide it. That's the whole thing. You know, it's still a decision to be made, not black and white.
And do you want to get a stopwatch out? Now you're parsing your camera angle and where your guy goes off and what it's doing and what takes the time to do the regular. You don't want to start doing that. I get what Mike was saying, that Vial had a time advantage. I understand that. But now you're going to have people with their stopwatches and their thumbs and being like, look it. Just fine them or points. Dock them a point or two. Just don't take positions away, I don't think.
I like the points idea. The fine to me doesn't work because, as I always say with these things, you cannot make it where at any point the rider thinks, you know what? The punishment isn't bad enough. I'm willing to do this. A fine, like any of these guys, when they're in these gnarly dogfight battles, of which the 250s were all day, I mean, it would take 15 minutes to pass the guy that was right in front of you. If you tell any of them, $100 to gain a second and a half in one section because you went off the track, they'd be like, here's my checking account. I will direct deposit that right over to you right now. I don't think you can ever anything on safety. You have to make the penalty. Like, don't even think about it. Don't think about risking riding fast off the side of the track where people are standing or equipment could be or other guys going back on, because it's only a fine. And these guys, if it was $50,000, they probably wouldn't care. But it really screws up, yes, the not knowing the winner of the race for hours after the race.
You can't do that, yeah.
No, so that's why the red cross flag thing in Supercross is points, because it's like, hey, maybe the points we showed on TV at the end of the day change, but at least the winner standing on the podium was the winner.
Yeah, I don't think Tom, and like, okay, so Tom's decision was found out, you know, in an hour, right? Hayden's was 3 hours, 2 hours. We're still not knowing what's going on. It just seemed, like, okay, fine. So no money. I get it. I was going to say escalation of the fines, Weech, but that's fine.
I'm good with the points. I think the points is the right angle, too. Sure. Yeah, I'm on board there.
I'm also mad. I think they need to tell us, JT, I don't believe you knew anything. I mean, we knew Deegan went off the track, and we thought, oh, they'll probably look at that. But we were not alerted. In the hour and a half, we were still in the air.
I was not even at the racetrack anymore when I found
out. I went over to the press conference, and they start talking like, wouldn't this be weird if Cowie gets their 300th win or pro circuit like this? And I'm like, wait, the press conference isn't over? They're like, no, it hasn't even started. Yeah. They don't know who won. And I'm like, and they're like, I think Deegan's going to have it pulled. And it went on and on. How funny was it, Steve, to just see the Deegans and Kitchen just hanging out bench racing outside the press tent?
Yeah, and in the press conference, Hayden asked Levi, do you think I should Yeah. You know, do you think I should get Doc?
Like, yeah, it's great. Yeah. And Levi had a great point. He said, he's like, I wouldn't have beat you anyway. It didn't affect the outcome. But then he said, he's like, but he docked Tom. So once they do that,
yeah,
it's kind of hard not to.
Yeah.
But I just feel like one bonus thing, they should have alerted someone in our TV compound to be like, by the way, what you're seeing right now is unofficial. I threw that word in just on my own judgment. But I mean, dude, we're doing champagne and trophies and analysis without any clue that there is even a 10% chance that this might change. At least fix that part.
It definitely took away from Hayden's great day. You know, like, he rode great. He rode fantastic.
Yeah.
You know what they could do? You know what they could do in this situation? They do it, and I'm pulling this from other sports, F1 and definitely MotoGP for sure. They will put up a notification that incident will be under review post-race.
Perfect.
And then that opens the door, right? So if you hear something later, like, well, we told you this was going to be reviewed, you know?
We had no clue.
It was definitely a weird deal. And by the way, I got a few DMs about this is AMA. This is not MX Sports. People got to understand this is AMA. Same people for Supercross. So it's not MX Sports making up, you know, the rules.
Yeah, somebody said something about Danny Coombs somewhere, and I'm like, that's not him.
That's not them. No.
He's not deciding this.
So I reached out to Mike Pelletier for the AMA, and he's going to get back to me tomorrow, but kind of, you know, we're going off what we kind of hear. They think that Tom had more of a time advantage and didn't take care in going back on the track. But to me, same thing. You got to dock them both or not dock them or points or whatever. Hayden, you're losing 5 points. You still got the overall win. You know, that would have been a perfectly acceptable thing to me.
Five is a lot.
Okay, two. I think five is a lot. Whatever, two, three, whatever. But Kitchen's boot, this is now a thing. Jeez, Weej. The boot.
I don't think it's a thing. I mean, they are two completely totally
no. It's
unrelated.
A thing. It's a thing.
It's a thing.
Yeah, because really? He's got boot problems. He's got something going on. There's some sort of chicken voodoo hex on boots, or I don't know.
I believe there is a chicken voodoo hex on his team, who lost. I heard that McAdoo and Hatmaker, did they crash within an hour of each other?
I don't know, man. Yeah,
that's what I heard. I think on Tuesday, and this sounds familiar. I feel like this happened. Did it happen in Supercross last year? Did, like, Shimoda and somebody else get hurt on the same day? Maybe it was Shimoda and Hatmaker last year. I feel – and then, of course, the crashing into each other at the Nashville this year. So, I think the team is hexed. The boots, I mean, those are – what? The two – the boot coming unbuckled at a first turn at one Supercross and the track marker getting stuck in the boot, that's not related at all.
Yeah, no, it's a Fox boot problem. Definitely.
Really?
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
It's not. Well, you know, it sucks for me because I work – for a competitor, right? What has nothing to do with that. Like, I don't care what kind of boot. Like, Levi Kitchens had something go on with a race with a boot two out of the last three times he's raced. Like, I don't care if it was a moon boot. Like, it doesn't matter to me, but I have to bring it up. Like, it has to be referenced somewhere. Like, it was a huge deal in both races. Like, Denver, like, we thought it might cost him a championship, and then you could argue that it definitely cost him the race win, you know, and it wasn't a boot problem. It was a track marker problem. You know what I mean? Like, it puts me in a really tough spot there because I feel like I'm doing something wrong by talking about a competitor's boot, but it doesn't matter to me what kind of boot it was. It's Anyway, that's my own personal hell I'm going through, but.
I'm kidding. But I said to Levi, I'm like, okay, so like, what, like you had to stop and reach down, like what? Like it cost you the moto win. Like you pulled.
He did a really good job of getting that thing out.
He did, though.
That was incredible.
He said he couldn't have kept going because the black end, it was stuck in his boot the way where the heavier end, the bigger end was flopping down and pulling his leg down. And I'm like, they're that heavy?
Well, also, it was on his throttle hand side. It was on his throttle hand side, too, so he had to take his hand off to get it out, which is another factor.
Yeah, he said he couldn't go on. I was surprised where he just couldn't keep riding with the thing sticking out of his boot, but he said it wasn't possible. So I'll go with him, you know. Were you surprised?
Also, I don't know if you – since you – the Deegan interview at the end of the first moto, like – you just never know. You just never know what you're
going to
get.
No, it's wrestling. It is wrestling. That's what the world we're living in, which you probably love, Weej. And the humble Deegs is gone.
We're back.
And we're back. Yes. Yeah, and we're back.
That was surprising. That was
are you back to being mad at him?
No, I'm not mad. I can't roll my eyes hard enough.
No, that's part of being. That's the content I'm looking for.
Yes, the week to week switch. It's wrestling. It's made up. It's I don't know what's real and what's not. And buckle up, buckle up.
So if people didn't hear, he said, "I know Levi. I trained him for years. I know he's gonna fade." And I was like, "Wow." Then at Sekimoto, they were all super buddies, and even during this drama of who won the race, they were blowing down at the media tent. So I don't know where the relationship is.
Well, but here's my theory. He's sick of everybody talking shit too.
Wow.
And I quote.
Yeah.
Sick of everybody talking shit.
That's Steve, I think.
Yeah. I love these athletes. Like, and it happens in a lot of athletes. Like, this is all for the doubters. Dude. You know, some team some team that's like number one overall in the league. This is for all those people who doubt. You're like, nobody doubted you. You're like the best team in the league.
You have supercross skills.
You know? So he showed me on the outdoors? Is that it?
I don't know, man. Tell me.
I know.
You tell me.
I know.
You are the doubter.
I am not. Kitchen was not stoked on the comment.
But yes, it is a hilarious thing that usually the very, very, very best, and I'm like, okay, 97% of the people just are like, yeah, you're really good.
Yep. Yeah, but
you know how this goes. You only hear from your friends and fans about the bad comments.
Yes.
That's all you hear. So that's you don't know that it's 97%. You hear the people talking shit, just like you said.
Yep. You could have asked you could have done a survey of every fan on the fence and be like, do you think Hayden Deegan can win today? And every single fan would be like, absolutely, he could win.
Yeah.
Could Deegan go 1-1? Yes. Every single person would be like, totally can see that.
Yeah. Yep. But but whatever. Cool, man.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think some of the Kitchen stuff, we have never heard any unpacking of. I mean, Kitchen is like the only guy that has ever willingly left Star Racing in like the modern Star Racing kicks ass era. And you've never heard any trash talk either way. But I've got to imagine, I mean, Star's just trying to motivate their guys. I got to imagine that Deegan says that based on they probably have had 100 conversations. Just getting their guys fired up and be like, he couldn't handle our program. You guys are soldiers. You guys are warriors. He's not as tough as you. That's why he left. I got to imagine these words have just been said at some point over the last 6 months. And that is
so
leaks out.
Do you think Star is Cobra Kai?
Yes.
No mercy.
Yeah. Sweep the leg.
Is that what they're doing over there? They're Cobra Kai?
Sweep the leg.
Yes, Sensei. Yeah. Yes, Sensei.
Sensei.
Yeah. But that team, they look for any edge mental that they can get. And I'm sure if they're telling their guys, like, look, you're going to be battling him for the title, but guess what? You're stronger than him. He left.
Yeah.
Why not?
All right. Well, Hayden rode great. That's the thing. The podium speech and the off-track stuff, he rode amazing. So
did.
Yeah, that was really impressive. Were you surprised, JT, as I was, and Mr. Lewis Phillips as well, noted MXGP fan, that the top two guys dumped Tom Vial that much? Like, if you had told me Tom Vial is going to win Moto One, I'd be like, yeah, look at him. Like, he's gone. See ya.
I wasn't. I've only seen Tom really, really break out a couple times. Now, he's much better, and I do think he will be relevant for the title fight because he knows how to do that. You know, he just knows how to be in the title fight. But I've only, like, Southwick, you know, last year was kind of a revelation. But there's only been a few times where I'm like, man, there was no doubt who the best guy was today. When talking about Tom, I've only seen that a couple times with him in this series, so it didn't shock me. You know, he's going to have good days, but I think there will be a lot of days where he's 2, 3, 4. The thing about that is that can be good enough in a really deep class to win a title.
Weege?
Round one, I'm just going to try not to judge it too much. He's hit arm pump. So, if this happens consistently, I will be surprised. Okay. I expect it to be closer than that, but it's round one. Who knows, man?
Yeah, because Kitchen was in the group, to me, anyways. It was Deegan and Vial, and then Kitchen was in that next group, like Hunter, and then Kitch had really separated himself, right? And
I don't know why you would think that.
All right.
Yeah, but we've seen how many times have we seen someone not great at the opener, and then literally by round two, they won the overall, and you're like, okay, write that first one off.
No, he's going to win. I think Vial wins. I just don't think you're going to see motos where Vial's 20 seconds out front just gapping everybody. That's not his game. Like, that's not really what he does.
Even in the MXGP was not the way he did it, right?
No, he was raising kids over there. You know, to be honest, he was raising kids. So it's a little bit different. But he wasn't the guy that was like, oh my God, Dale was just out of here. Like, that's not really how it, he's a ultimate race manager. He was the best guy, but he understood that I only needed to win by like 3 seconds. Like that's fine. It's plenty.
He's like a Dunge.
Yeah. He can be the best guy. It's just not going to be visually dominant, you know, where James and Ricky wanted to annihilate everybody. I don't think he's really trying to do that.
So Tom Vial's not James or Ricky? Okay, noted.
No, the approach to it. Like, Jet, he's more, I would say, even more Jet. You know, he's just going to take the win. Like, I don't care what it looks like. I just keep winning. Like, that's what he'll do if he can.
We you know, without the penalty, it goes 1-1, 2-2, 3-3, and I think that those three guys were a cut above. But Chance Imus, Fly Racing Zone, this was his best day as a pro, for sure. Great day for Chance. Really impressive. Good job.
How do you feel about it, Steve? Because I know you've had some questions about this whole thing.
No, it was great. Yeah, for sure. You know, I was talking to his dad a couple weeks ago, and his dad's like, he's really good on the harder pack stuff. Now, I don't know if Paula kind of counts as that, but one of the reasons they went east was to work on softer stuff, right? He's from Idaho, so he grew up on the West Coast. And so one of the ways that he wanted to get better on the softer dirt, which is most of the tracks, is going east. So,
I don't know if you've ever, most of the people listening to this have never ridden in Idaho. I fully appreciate that. Dirt's like rock hard, traction, marbly. So yes, it does not shock me to see him going very fast at a track like Paula.
And Hangtown and Dent Lakewood will be good for him too. Yeah. So good job for Chance Imus. Yeah, for sure. Rode well. Jalik Swole, Weej.
Dude. Be good. And I was thinking, I actually, when I was pulling up to the track in the morning, it was Swole and Mike Brown, a couple other guys in the Triumph team pulled in right next to me. And I was just, made me think to myself, you know, the Swole Savacci pick for this team is so brilliant because they have legit upside. Like, there is a world where they get really good results, podiums, maybe win. I mean, Swole's done it before, Savacci's done it before. But also, I feel like if it goes badly, it's not like it's a guarantee with either guy. So it's like Swole does this every once in a while and he reminds you, oh man, he is really good. So I don't know if I'm surprised or maybe I should not have been, because there have definitely been plenty of races through the years where you're like, oh, look at Swole. He's borderline podium level guy. And then that's what he was. And I was just thinking that's such a good pick for this team because they have upside, but if they struggle one weekend, no one's going to be like, what the hell? What's wrong with Swole? Like, it's kind of what you get out of him. A couple of good races a year that remind you of he has real talent.
Yeah, I think it was smart of them to not go after – I mean, they went after Kitchen, right? They went for some bigger names. But in the end, they're like, hey, let's grow. We don't know if our bike's going to be good. It is, but we don't know. And you know?
Yeah. But Swole's won a national before. Swole's gotten podiums. Like, you see him in this battle and you're reminded that, oh, yeah, every once in a while, this is normal for him.
Also, I think Jalik and Joey get Lit Kit Award, Weech.
Ooh, that was good. I like some high-vis. Yeah. It's the only – there weren't any colors left for bikes, right? So I feel like they're the first brand ever that is going to have to compensate for the invisible motorcycle with really bright gear.
JT, a couple of crashes in each moto. 8-6 for Joe Shimoda, 20 points down.
Are you weeding into a slow start here?
No,
just where we're going.
You can comment as you like.
Not a loaded report on Shimoda.
You can comment as you like, sir. I mean, look, he had the ankle injury.
It's the same old thing. Yeah. But I expected this. I know he hasn't been riding.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't 100%.
Yep.
So, but this set it up perfectly for that narrative. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Right? It just sets up the same dynamic that's happened over and over and over. Doesn't mean that it's not warranted, you know, like he can have a sprained ankle, but it's the same thing.
Yeah. Nope. He's got to get on it quick. And he'll have another chance. Nate Thrasher, 11-7 for 7th. By the way, we should mention too, Phil went 9-9 for 10th. I should mention that. He was quick to point that out, but Nate Thrasher goes 11-7 for 7th. So, gets a little fortunate with that. Quiet day. Pierce Brown moved up in both motos. I had him in fantasy, so I was watching him, and he moved forward both motos. And Ryder D went backwards in both motos, his teammate. So Ryder was up there top five, I think, in both. And then ended up going backwards. Ryder looked a little...
Man, he had such a good jump in the first moto. Like, yeah. His start, very inside gate. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but wow, he got a good jump. He was, like, maybe first in the first corner, second.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
He was third early. He ran third for a while.
Yep.
Joey Savacci, good job. Fifth place. Obviously, he was caught in that second turn crash, I think, with him. And came all the way from, like, basically dead last to 13th. But I think that fifth was good, Weege.
Oh, yeah, and JT, can you tell the scene of the – he was about 30 seconds away from being fast qualifier also, Savacci?
Yeah. Well, he put his really good lap in super late also.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the way this works for those at home, basically there are people in charge of flagging down the fastest qualifier at the time. They make them wait in this kind of staging area, and then when – it's decided that they're the fastest qualifier, then they bring them up to the podium, and then, you know, we do the 250 fastest, Monster Energy fastest qualifier interview. So Savacci's sitting there waiting. Triumph guys are all excited, great job, whatever, but they know it's not over. And then Kitchen throws in this heater mm-hmm. right at the end, and everybody's like, oh, just like, because it would have been Joey's first race back, fastest, it would have been such a great story.
Yeah.
And then just the heartbreak, you know, after. But they have to be happy with that still. But just watching that all unfold was probably
would have been
fun
huge.
For them, but it was interesting for sure.
I mean,
I thought Savacci was great. I'm bummed that he had the first turn crash because it cost him a lot of points. You'd like to think over the average, you'll get that back. Somebody else will have a first turn crash because he is 24 points down, 30 points, just the way the ball bounces sometimes. But JT and I were having this discussion at our catered TV lunch, and I was like, okay, Savacci has some disadvantages here. He has not raced 250 in 8 years, and this is a new bike and team. Never raced this class, this series before. I know in MXGP they've been great, but it's not the same bike. But he's also been in full moto prep mode for months, unlike everybody else. So, JT, I think you thought that actually outweighed the other stuff. He would be at a bigger advantage than disadvantage.
No, I do, and I think history has shown us that it's an advantage. You know, and it's not always a guy coming in like this. You think about Steve Lamson when he was on a privateer Honda. Mike Brown's done it. Ryan Hughes has done it many times. But then there have also been rookies that have moved up.
Eli Stratton, Justin
Barsha, Josh Grant.
Yep.
Just endless names that have made their move, and it was typically at Hangtown in those years. And they came in just like a house on fire because they're so prepared. And all they've been doing is just motos and sprints and starts for outdoors. And they have their bike and gearing and suspension. Everything is so dialed. Like, they are so far past ready where everybody else is back foot a little bit. They're trying to figure the bike out. And they just switched from Supercross. And they're not up to speed. You know, I thought James Stewart did a great job of explaining the challenges. Like, your eyes trying to catch up to the speed difference and all the things that most people don't have a way to relate to, but it's a real thing trying to transition. Those guys are way past all that. So for Joey, I felt like it was wildly important to really start fast here because those guys are going to be catching back up. Like, they're going to get more and more comfortable, and whatever edge he has, I think, would dwindle. So unfortunately, that didn't play out that way, but I thought he had to kind of get that first round, maybe get a podium, and be in this fight before those guys really get their outdoor legs underneath them.
Well, he definitely, well, he made sure to take another shot at the 250 Supercross rules and how he couldn't race. And then he made a shot that he's going to decline any show interviews from me over this year. And then he also, though, like, make no mistake about it. Like, I mean, call me the hater, I guess. I don't see a championship for Joey. But this is the goal. Like, he really thinks that he can do this. And, you know, it's going to be tough. Like you said, Weege, 8 years out of the class, and the mentality in the 250 class is so different for an older guy to jump down. But, man, he's going to be really good at Hangtown and even better at Lakewood. We could leave Lakewood with Joey being top three in points.
I thought we were there. Sorry to step on you, Weege, but I'll get out of the way of this Joey thing. I thought so, too, but I just thought he had to make it happen, like, right away. And being 30 points down now doesn't help that, however many points he's down.
Honestly, I feel the exact same way. I thought with the way these first six tracks are and coming in ready, and he's been so good, especially at Thunder Valley, but all these tracks, I was like, dude, there's a chance he's got a red plate on this bike in their first shot. But now that's kind of blown. But I still thought he rode well. It's just unfortunate the way fifth and first moto is totally fine. and then first turn crash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bomar 11th, and Phineas was good. This is way better than he was. Didn't he race some nationals last year, Weege? A couple of races he jumped in?
Like I for think club? So.
I think he did.
Yeah.
He did. And yeah, I don't remember him going anywhere near 14-11.
No.
So.
No. Oh, on Gas, yes. He did race Bud's Creek.
Yeah.
And he did not go maybe well. Ironman.
Right.
No.
Yeah, did not go well.
Good job. 14-11. No. That's impressive.
Well, this is the problem. We all love Mike Bonacci. Great guy. But he is their team's biggest cheerleader. Like, that's what his job is, right? Like, he should be doing this. But I can't ever tell what's fluff and what's real. So he wrote about how everybody was raving about how fast Mark has been going at club, right? But he also says that about everybody, you know, whether it's Jet Reynolds or whoever. So I don't ever know, like, is this real or is just pumping us up on club riders? But this seemed to be real.
My source for that is Phil, who's more negative than positive, and Phil said he's been riding well. But
I don't have Phil as a resource like you do. I was just going off a press release.
Yep.
So I'm kind of trying to read between the lines here.
Good job for Phineas, though. 12th overall. Jordan Smith was fast and then crashed. Imagine that.
He crashed up the start, though, in the second one.
Yeah, but even the first one he crashed, too. And then
he is fast, though. God, that guy goes fast.
Yeah, he was up there, then he crashed, and he passed four guys back, got seventh. Dylan Schwartz came back. 40. Remember Dylan Schwartz?
Yep.
Yeah.
Talked to James Coy a little bit, his team manager. I mean, he hasn't raced at all this year. Like, none.
None.
So that was a pretty good start to the season. He's good at this track, though.
Yep.
We'll say that. He's had a history of being good here.
Ty Masterpool had a hell of a day, Weege. Hell of a day.
Man, I was really pumped, and obviously it's not over. He's racing the whole year. But when he started, the first practice was not good. I mean, he was riding a 450 on Thursday. Rode, I think, at Paris on Friday to get used to this bike. But he started, like, fourth in the first moto. And as far as, like, just straight-up riding ability, talent, potential, style, form, technique, outdoors, it's off the charts. Like, at Loretta's, he was as high a level of prospect as any of the other dudes. Mm-hmm. Like, when he was doing it right, he was really freaking good. And I'm like, man, this might be, like, the perfect storm. And then the first practice, not good. Second practice, he got sixth. I'm like, damn, bro. He starts first moto in fourth. I'm like, dude, this could really, really be something. And then, damn it, I'm like, wait, now he's in 19th. And then now he's crashed again.
Yeah.
And then what happened? Moto 2, just bad start?
He crashed. Crashed again. But then he moved up from way
out. He got 10th.
Yeah.
But there was a brief moment, and I'm talking 30 seconds for the first, but I'm like, what if this is like, oh my God, we should have saw this coming. Why did no one try this combo? And he's like battling for the title at round 5. But
battling for the title?
Dude, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, the talent of Ty Masterpool outdoors.
Oh, he's incredible.
Is on par.
The title is a whole different thing. That's a whole different thing.
Okay, the talent's on par, and the bike is on par. So,
but no,
I was like, wait a minute.
Switch teams.
Wait a minute.
Like, there's no way. There's no way. Like, there's no way. But I did think, and I still do think, even on Sunday, I think there's a chance for him to be a top 7 or 8 guy week in, week out. I really do.
Why not podiums? Why not podiums? No. Nope.
Okay, podiums, but battling for the title is a different. You can't screw up. You can't crash. You can't have. That's just a different level of guy. Like, there are very few guys that I think can do that.
I saw a world where, like, 8 motos in, you're like, dude, look at Masterpool. He's kind of in this.
Yeah, and I still think we will. I still think we will, but I'm out on the title talk. That's all.
Yeah, I had some dreams there for a moment because it's just always frustrating to me. It's one of the most frustrating things in sports when you know someone has the ability and for whatever reason it's never happening. And I'm like, wait, this is the.
He's going to hole shot. He is going to hole shot photos. It's coming. I promise you it's coming. And we're going to be like, oh my God. And I'm going to be, you know, buzzing Bondo to let me in. And we're going to be raving about Masterpool. No question about that. And it's going to be deserved. I just think it's going to be a lot of hit and miss.
I look forward to those interviews. They'll be riveting.
It's weird. Steve, actually, you should interview his brother, Jake, who is one of the greatest speaking, talker, interview people you'll ever meet. It's weird. It's like they just ported let's give all the interview to him.
Should I ask for my money back for the LCQ challenge from Ty? Should I get money back?
We did not know this is coming.
Okay.
We did not know this is coming.
Okay. I'm kidding. I asked one of the pro circuit guys, I'm like, how'd you get suspension for the kid? Because you rode to Paris. Paris is smooth as hell. He's like, oh, yeah, well, Hammaker's a little lighter, so we just kind of went with that. So once once he tests, you know, get the bike a little more comfortable. So, Jet Reynolds, 16-16 for Jet.
Hey, good. He raced.
At one point, it was Phineas Reynolds and Cody Shock. It was an FXR club advertisement.
Wow.
Daxon Bennick, not a good day for Daxon Bennick, that's for sure. Not happy, I guess, with his motorcycle setup a little bit. Cody Shock said he went to school. He learned a lot.
Yep.
So, all right. Casey Cochran.
Did he tell you he found out he was the 19th best guy?
Yeah. Casey Cochran was really fast in Moto 1. He went from dead last to like 13th, fell again, came back to like 15th or something. And then I think he fell in the second moto again. So Casey Cochran probably got the most passing points on the day. Congratulations, I guess.
Yeah, he's sneaky good in qualifying too. I think he was 10th, which in that class is, you know, you look at who you're ahead of.
Yeah, 13th.
So maybe there's something.
13th in qualifying.
Oh, 13th in.
But he.
Overall, sorry.
He was dead last to 15th in less than half the moto in Moto 1. It was impressive. So, Nick Romano, not a good day. Do you think they're even talking to Nick Romano at this point? Anyone over there?
I don't know. He's on the involuntary J-Mart program.
Ryder McNabb.
He just got back, but
changing his gear outside. Yeah.
Ryder McNabb. Yeah. We were 14th with one lap to go, and crashed out in Moto 1. 14th. That's great. That would have been a good ride.
I was watching him. I was watching him in qualifying practice. That kid rips, man. Like he is really fast. Like, I don't know what his results were. I'm not even talking about the results. I'm just talking about watching him on a motorcycle by himself. He was really
14th
good.
With a lap to go. I am petitioning the AMA to give him 14th points. I'm going to try. He needs it. It would have been really great. It would have been a nice stepping stone. So he ate shit and he was bruised up and he got 19th in Moto 2. So. Two-time MX2 champion, Manitoba's own, Ryder McNabb. Soak it in, Weege. You'll be talking about him a lot.
How many of these is he doing? Next week they're racing, right?
Yeah, he's doing all of them. No, he's here all year.
Oh, he's not racing Canada?
No, he forfeited the number one plate, just left it.
I knew nothing about this.
Yeah.
But with Canadian KTM support or American KTM support?
Just AEO KTM, yeah.
So this is what you've been begging these Canadians
he's on
guys
a team.
To do?
Yeah.
He's on a team.
Yes, we.
This is what you've been begging for. Take a chance on yourself. That's what
yes.
this is.
Yes, exactly. Oh. Yes.
Wow.
But he's on a team. Like it's not he's in a pickup truck.
Yes, really but he's on AEO. This is taking a okay, yes. It is cool that KTM slid him into one of the teams to support, but the point is he could have taken the easy route and just raced in Canada.
Yeah, he's going to make more money and it's going to be easier if he just stayed in Canada.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but he's not doing right. We're doing right probably makes, I don't know, $300,000, you know? Like he's not going to make money like that. But I'm not arguing the point. He's just
Well, it sounds like you are arguing the point, sir.
No, it's different than Dylan, I think, right? Like I think your point was if you're going to sit back and rest on your 10 Canadian championships and make a ton of money versus going down and seeing what you could really do, I think, you know, Ryder's still super young, right? So it's a little bit different in my eyes, but still great either way.
No, he's young enough where if this doesn't work out, he goes back to Canada. Yeah, but
okay, fair enough.
Anyways, Weege 14th in the first moto till the last lap, so.
Okay, till the last lap, asterisk.
But you're going to talk about him this summer.
Now that I know this story.
Okay.
I think you're going to force us to.
Well, his kid's got to do something, you know. All right, anything else? 250?
We're on Hangtown. Anybody look at the weather yet for Hangtown? I think it should be good. I don't look. So.
I have not.
Oh, you know, you're not.
I haven't looked at it yet.
Six days out.
I am not a weather looker either, really. I don't care. I'm wearing shorts. And I got a hoodie. For sleeping on airplanes, so I'll have it with me anyways if the skies open up. So
some of us are boots on the ground, out and down in the trenches, sir.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
No, we're on to Hangtown. Yeah. So, okay, let's wrap this up real quickly with a few categories, shall we?
Mm.
All right. Most shocking result from Paula. Most shocking result. I'll go first, if you guys want. I didn't prep you. Hunter Lawrence. Hunter Lawrence.
Okay. I'm going to go with Hymus. I mean, Hymus was borderline podium guy. Not that I didn't think he was capable of that, but I don't think that's where anyone had him.
Right.
Like, he will be battling with Vial all day. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nope.
Does that have to be result, or can it just be like moment or ride?
Anything you want, JT. We'll just try
to make
this.
Okay, I'll go Nicoletti Sakamoto.
Okay. All right.
Nice.
Most disappointing ride. The ride that made you the sad.
I'll say Handmaker and McAdoo.
Okay. All right.
Masterpool, because I thought we had something.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Clearly you did. Clearly you did.
Championship. The championship's blown.
He started fourth. I'm like,
he's riding the bike for the first time on Friday before Paul, and we just think it's title.
I'm going to tell Peyton that this is what you would hope, Rich.
Dude, he's so good outdoors. He's so good. He's so good. Oh, and now he's on a bike as good as any other bike for the first time ever. Well, sorry, star 1 year, which I think he raced four times.
I'm going to go with Craig because I like Christian, and I just wanted him to build a little bit. Instead, he just fucking pile drove himself into the ground and ate rocks all day. So his awesome 2024 continues.
Oh, good Lord.
Catch the fever.
Good Lord.
Also, too, like, you know, he knows and everyone knows he's out of that team at the end of the year. So, like,
yeah, has anyone ever needed a team change more than Christian Craig at this point, though?
Right. Yep. All right. Okay. And Lit Kid Award already did that. JT can't participate because he'll just say hi, miss.
No, it's whatever. I'm pretty neutral these days, man. Like, stuff looks good. So be it. I thought Fox did a good job with their LE stuff, too.
No, I didn't like the Fox stuff.
Really?
No. But I did like, kitchen stuff was okay, I guess. I don't know if it was the LE stuff or not, but.
Yeah, so it was all okay.
Oh, okay. All right. We're on to Hangtown. Thank you to Fly Racing, Renthal, Maxis, OnX Maps, Motorsport.com. Weege, JT, anything else?
That's it, boys.
All right.
We're on to Hangtown.
See ya.
See you Saturday.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxis Tires, Renthal, Motorsport.com, and Kuba Links on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners. Don't change the air. Don't change the air.